The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
You're very welcome to this Friday's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour, available on offtheball.com, across all of Off the Ball's social networks at the moment as well, YouTube, Facebook, and our Periscope on Twitter as well. And you can listen to us on the Go Loud app, or listen back, of course, on the podcast section of offtheball.com. It is FA Cup fourth round weekend, with fixtures between tonight and Monday. It's a packed weekend of games. And over the past month or so, our two guests, Endicall and Phil Egan, have been playing a drinking game. Every time that Manchester United take a shot, they have to take a shot. We've called it Dry January. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Lots have left that joke hanging. We're looking forward to a busy weekend of fourth round action. But before we look forward to the FA Cup, Phil Egan of offtheball.com, Liverpool could well be into 20 plus points clear by the time that Man City play again in the Premier League, extended out to 16 points with the game in hand last night. And once again, Wolves proved a very tricky opponent for top six opposition.
Yeah, there was a general feeling going into the game that Wolves are one of those teams that could actually beat Liverpool. They've beaten City twice this season. They obviously gave Liverpool a very good run at Anfield over the Christmas period. The game was only separated by a goal, and last night was no different. And when it went 1-1, I think it just shows how good Liverpool are, where you kind of felt that, you know, even though Wolves look like they're in the ascendancy, that Liverpool can sneak a winner. And Firmino missed a chance. It was a good save from Patricio. A few minutes later, he makes no mistake, and he's coming up with big goals away from home. But 14 wins in a row, that was their 11th in the league by a single goal. 8 2-1s this season. It's not a fluke. People say, you know, it seems to be getting the rub of the green, but they've been doing this all season. They've been grinding out wins, and they even suffered the little setback of Sadio Mane picking up an injury in the first half. They just keep finding ways of getting these results. And as good as Adama Traore was, Liverpool had an answer. And it's just a case now of when they can seal this elusive league title. And Klopp is just managing it so well in terms of what happens on the pitch, but off the pitch, he just, as soon as anyone mentions records, he just says, next game. Bit like what Ranieri did a few years ago, when people used to say to him, can Leicester win the league? And he just batted off. And that's going to be Klopp's toughest job probably for the next few weeks.
Endicott, presenter of Team 33 on News Talk as well, talking about Liverpool and the way that they're grinding out results. They're going to have to maybe grind a bit over the next few weeks without Sadio Mane. Jurgen Klopp has said this morning that they're waiting news on this. They suspect it might be a tweak and it could be a few weeks. He's been Liverpool's best player this season. Does it change much for Liverpool if Mane misses, say, 2 or 3 weeks?
I don't think it changes too much. Like, they've just been so good. Every time the player has gotten injured this year, somebody else has filled in and done that role for them. We saw it with the likes of Jordan Henderson filling in for Fabinho and almost excelling when he had to step up to that position. When Salah was out injured, we saw Origi coming in and filling in for Salah and playing two up front. And they just seem to have an answer for every injury. So Mane, I know when we were talking about Salah being injured, we were saying that Mane is the player that Liverpool would miss the most if he was out injured. So it'll be interesting to see who it is that comes in for him. I know Minamino came on for him last night. He wasn't that impressive, to be honest. So it'll be interesting to see what Liverpool do with their formation now. I would expect it's going to be Origi coming in again. Struggling, I don't think they will struggle though.
Phil, I'd imagine this weekend against Shrewsbury, Liverpool were likely to play Minamino and Origi anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Minamino, because the talk last night was he picked up a knock in the first half, so he actually had to get a bit of treatment on a calf problem during the half-time break. And he looked a little bit nervous, and you have to kind of put it into perspective that was his Premier League debut last night. His first game, obviously, was against Everton. And as good as he was against Liverpool in the Champions League, a lot of Liverpool fans would have just seen those two games, and he was very good. But we haven't seen enough of him. Like, how many? I don't watch enough Austrian football that I can make a definitive call on how good this guy could be. But if Jurgen Klopp is signing him, history over the last few years has shown us that Klopp tends to get these right. Between him and Michael Edwards, they've they've got their signings right.
Well, it's difficult to come in middle of the season. He's coming into a team who are in really good form and who are motoring along nicely, and he's having to adjust to that.
Yeah, and a different pace of the game. And, you know, it would only be natural for a guy to be nervous. You know, he wants to hit the ground running. He's played against Liverpool. Now he's part of that team. So I don't know if we'll see him this weekend. I don't know how serious the knock he got, but you're looking at the likes of Curtis Jones. I think Origi will be the like-for-like replacement for Mane, say, for example, when they play West Ham next week, and he'll do a perfect job on the left-hand side. And it kind of was a feeling going into that game last night that certain players needed to be rested, and Mane probably would have been one of those players, but unfortunately for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, it was just one game too many that he's picked up a little injury. But certain Fabinho could start because he looked a little bit rusty, but take Jordan Henderson out, give him a bit of a rest. He's been unbelievable the last few weeks. I'd be very surprised if he's not shortlisted for Player of the Year. And he epitomises everything that Klopp wants from this Liverpool team. And
well, he's actually come in the last couple of weeks, because I know a few weeks ago he was almost 20-1 to win it, and he's come down to 5-1. Sadio Mane's just ahead of him.
Yeah, and I wonder now,
Van Dijk's in that list.
Will Mane be pushed out a bit, because aren't they going to be voting in the next few weeks?
Yeah, it's in a couple of weeks' time, and it's always on momentum. So if Jordan Henderson keeps up this run,
Do you know what though? I wouldn't be surprised if De Bruyne wins it, and Liverpool fans, it might irk them for a little bit, but if they win the league, they don't care.
Van Dijk, no classic spit.
Van Dijk won PFA Player of the Year last season, but Sterling got Football Writers Player of the Year, and a lot of people.
I have a sneaky feeling Henderson might win Football Writers Award.
Yeah,
but he's already been named England Player of the Year as well this year.
So do you know what? I wouldn't be one to lose much sleep over awards. I'm sure some of the players would very much feel the same, and that's the mentality Klopp has at Liverpool anyway. It's all about the team, and if you get awards, fair enough, but the collective is what's important, and what's important for Liverpool is winning a first league title in 30 years and to put themselves in an unbelievable position to do it. 16 points clear, game in hand against West Ham, who are struggling at the moment. So like you said, there could be more than 20 points clear of City by the next round of games.
And awards and records don't seem to be something that Liverpool care about, or at least they're not mentioned. I would say that deep down they do care. They do want to break those records, sort of like Man City last year and the year before that. They do want to break those records. But I was just looking up the Arsenal Invincible season, and everyone is kind of pegging Liverpool to do this Invincible season this year. But they're already on 22 wins from 23 games. That blot against United is the only one they haven't won this year. Arsenal won 26 games that year. So currently, just at the end of January, Liverpool are 4 wins away from beating that Arsenal team's win record. So that, for me, if they lose one game and still win more games than Arsenal that year, that for me is a better record.
Yeah, there's an argument for both. On the one hand, going unbeaten is remarkable because no team could actually get 3 points from you. But also, if they were to beat the points total, which seems very unlikely, or seems very likely, I should say, given the position that they're in at the moment, that's almost more impressive in a way, because if you take it particularly, they nearly did 100 points last season as well.
Well, for example, if Liverpool beat the points total set by City and they win 29 games, they have more wins. And say they lose maybe 2 games. Is winning more games, getting the points record in the league, and only losing 2 games in the entire season a better record than than Arsenal's record of 26 wins and 8 draws?
Depends if you're an Arsenal fan or a Preston fan, realistically.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think Liverpool's focus is just winning that league, because, and the rest is a bonus.
Well, they'll have it by March, by the... If they keep on this run, they'll have it by March.
Like their toughest test is going to be that game away to City, because City will want to basically say, right, well done, you've had your season, but they want to lay down a marker, even to say, we're not going away, we're going to be ready for your challenge next season. And if Pep Guardiola is there, which we expect him to be, he's going to have a few new players and he's going to try and jig things around, and because they just haven't been good enough this season. So that's the one game. Last night was a game I genuinely felt I didn't. It wasn't a game I felt Liverpool were going to lose, but it was certainly a game I thought they could have drawn.
And team selection for this weekend, Shrewsbury away. There is an argument to say that Jurgen Klopp and the Liverpool players from the last round, the kids particularly, have earned the right to play again.
I would say they will. Last round against Everton, he threw out the kids. None of us expected, well, we expected some changes, but none of us expected that. So against a team like Shrewsbury, you are expecting him to do that. And I would say we'll get to see a couple of younger players, if not the full B team.
You see, the beauty is Fabinho's just coming back. Joel Matip is just coming back. He can take out the two fullbacks. Williams is very good against Everton. So obviously he would probably have liked to play Milner as a left back. So does he go with Larucci maybe again and as a left back to start this time? Then Origi will probably get some game time. Milana wasn't on the he wasn't there last night. So
Oxlade-Chamberlain
keeps getting taken off in games, and he's only playing an hour because he's only coming back as well. So you'd imagine he's going to start. So
with his injury profile, you're probably going to be very careful with Oxlade-Chamberlain as well.
You're still going to have a very good team out. Obviously, Adrian will come in and goal as well. So it'll probably be close enough, but Liverpool would be happy with that draw and just make sure there's no replay, because this is the last round where there can be replays, and then in the fifth round they're scrapped. So no replay, and just get through, and hopefully they might get a home draw. And as I said, with the FA Cup, with some of the Premier League teams, the further they go, then the stronger their lineups will get.
You both expect Liverpool to progress, even if they do play a B team?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Tranmere last night knocked out last year's beaten finalist Watford. We did kind of wonder how Watford are going to be psychologically going into this, because it's all about the battle for them to stay up. And I think the extra week being added by the game being switched probably didn't help Watford in this case either, coming off the back of a difficult game in the Premier League last weekend against Spurs as well. Any great surprise, Phil, that Watford went out?
Not really, because you got to think about it. Nigel Pearson's come in and he's turned things around. Now, he's done the hard work of getting them back in. Like, they were starting to get cut adrift themselves in Norwich. So they're back in with the group. So they're in this relegation battle. They're back in the drop zone now after losing to Villa. That was a sore one for them. So if they had won last night, then they go on, they play United, and, you know,
they've only beaten them recently, you would think, maybe.
Pearson was brought in to keep them in the Premier League, and that was the MO, and that's his focus. And do you know what, I'm sure he probably saw a few things last night from certain players where he thought, yeah, you know, I saw something there that might actually work for us later in the season. But I wouldn't say he was too bothered. Now obviously he's to come out and say, yeah, of course we were disappointed not to win, but deep down he just has to keep Watford in the Premier League, and he'll earn himself, obviously, the chance to have a full season with Watford in the Premier League next season. But it makes for an interesting tie for United, because obviously they're back on Merseyside a week later. Pitch ain't great.
No, made worse by the storm a couple of weeks ago as well, which led to this initial postponement. Saw pictures of the pitch yesterday. It looks patchy. It looks like a lower league ground.
Well, this is the same pitch. So Chelsea women's manager Emma Hayes, when Chelsea played Liverpool ladies play at Prenton Park, and she said, I think the quality of that pitch is the worst in the league. It's a stain on their football club. Now, she did apologise for maybe...
She's gone pretty
strong.
Hard there.
Yeah, but I guarantee you on Sunday when United play there, everyone's going to be going on about the pitch. And Emma Hayes said it in December. Mm. And it's actually got worse. Now, it's probably just one of these things. I'm sure they're working as hard as they can to try and to fix it, but yeah, that could be a bit of a leveller for Tranmere. Tranmere themselves, though, are not doing well at the moment. You often wonder, are these cup runs good distraction for them? But they love the fact that United are coming to the town.
Yeah.
And if Solskjaer loses this, it'd be very interesting to see, would United be sticking by him? Because they obviously have come out this week and said they're sticking by him. But losing away to Tranmere, and not only would it be losing to lower league opposition, it would be another trophy gone. And every bit of silverware that goes, because you have to believe that United are not going to come back against City in the League Cup next week, that's another trophy gone. And then all they've got left is Europa League. And that's not going to be easy to win.
What do you reckon? And a big week for United coming up then?
It's massive, and I just want to touch on something Phil said about the board back and coming out and back in Solskjaer. And Ronan Mullen brought this up last night as well. It's all well and good coming out and backing him when he's under pressure, but you need to back him in the transfer window as well. And you need to get those deals over the line, because clearly United need players. And he was actually at the 3-0 or 4-0 win against Chelsea at the start of the season, and he was saying there's only three players who were on that starting team for United lined out against Burnley in the loss at the weekend. So that shows you how difficult the season has been squad-wise for Solskjaer. And I think that some of the issues have been blown out of proportion. Obviously, they're not progressing as fast as they would like, but there is signs of clear progress there. They're fifth in the league, still within touching distance of the Champions League, still in the FA Cup. I know they might be out of the League Cup by next week, but they're still in the, they're in the League Cup semi-final and they're still in the Europa League. So I'm not sure where United could be in this season. Like, people are talking about it being a disastrous season, but I'm not sure where else they would be.
Well, they're letting
would they be in the top four?
The
so they are, but they're still in fifth place. So they're 6 points off the Champions League. If they finish in the Champions League spot and go on a good run in the Europa League, they're probably not going to win the League Cup. They have a good chance in the FA Cup. What else can Solskjaer achieve with that squad that he has? I'm not sure there's that much. That's especially with the injuries. They've been missing Paul Pogba all year. Mm-hmm. McTominay, when he was on his best run of form, got injured. Rashford's now injured, probably until the end of the season. Centre-back has been a persistent problem for them, with Lindelof being injured and being out sick. So they've had multiple issues with injuries and within the squad that they've somehow managed to still be in a good enough position that I think he's worthy of keeping his job until the end of the season.
Well, Phil, it's an interesting point, because I listened to Silas, the sporting manager, last weekend. All indications were Bruno Fernandes wouldn't be at the club for their midweek game against Braga in the Portuguese Cup. He seemed to think it was just a case of United paying up the money and Bruno leaving. It's kind of remarkable how much this has dragged on, because he seems to be a player they've been watching
United
for ages.
Do, though. This was like Harry Maguire. They stalled on what they pay, and then eventually they paid.
They just pay what they're asked.
It's Paul Pogba was a saga. This is United. Don't even when they get a deal done, there's always one story in the transfer window, and it tends to centre around Manchester United, because the selling club know that United are desperate for players, and in this situation, United know that Sporting actually pretty much want to sell Bruno Fernandes, because they know they're going to get a good price from him. But here we are. We're a week out from the close of the transfer window, and it looks like it's gone cold, unless something happens in the next 7 days. But so if they don't get the Bruno Fernandes deal done, do they get any signings done? If they don't, then there's no way they're getting Champions League football. Yeah. And I know, I get what you say about you look at the squad, but Solskjaer is not, from what we've seen of him, he's not going to be that manager that if you give him time can build something. There's nothing to suggest that he can do that. And I know people throw out Pochettino's name. There is other managers out there, but whoever gets the job, it's not an easy job. But Pochettino at least showed with Spurs that he can improve players, especially young players.
Do you not think some of the players have improved under Solskjaer?
Like who?
Rashford is having his best season ever in his career, and yeah. I know he's a natural.
Mourinho,
he's naturally going to progress.
I think, but I don't know if that is even a case of Solskjaer improving him. It's just basically not treating him the way Mourinho did. A lot of the Solskjaer impact, I genuinely believe, was not down to Solskjaer being good, but it was just a release valve had been open when Mourinho left, because it was toxic at the end.
I agree at the start.
When the players, Solskjaer just came in, big happy face in him, go off there and play football, and everyone was loving it.
It was a silly decision to give him the job based on that. They should have at least interviewed other managers. But I genuinely do believe there are players within the United squad that are improving. Yes, there are issues. For example, set pieces are a clear fundamental issue that United have not been able to solve this year. But Rashford has improved. Daniel James, who came in from a championship club, not even a top championship club, a mid-table championship club, wasn't expected to start, has been brilliant this season.
McTominay
has improved. Fred has improved. If you look at Brandon Williams coming in at left back, he's improved. There are players improving within that United lineup.
Like, you mentioned Fred. Fred, like, the bar was set so low, he could only improve.
But that doesn't mean, that doesn't just clear him off any improvement. Just because he was playing poor when he starts to play well, that doesn't, just because he was playing poor in the first place, doesn't mean he hasn't improved. He's improved as a player.
He signed the guy for 50 million. He was hopeless. Pretty much written off as a United player.
And has he improved?
And now he's playing okay. He's not going to be on that PFA shortlist for Player of the Year. You mentioned, like, as I said with Rashford, Rashford's confidence was drained because Mourinho just wasn't managing him properly. So then you look at someone like Brandon Williams is a young player coming in. Yeah, I like the look of him. Then who else did you mention?
McTominay,
again, a young player that's now getting more game time, is starting to realise what the Premier League is about. But I just don't think, like, even when you listen to Solskjaer talk, he just doesn't seem like he's going to be the character, the fit for a club that wants to turn their fortunes around. Unfortunately, there's not many managers that could turn this club around the way it's run at the moment. But I just don't think Solskjaer... I think you can blame the board and you can say Solskjaer is not good enough.
You can do both. I do think there are signs there that Solskjaer has the makings of a man who can come up with a plan for United. There, in bigger games, he has come up with good tactical decisions that have led to big results. Against the smaller sides, they haven't. So if you look at United's losses this year, they're mainly from clubs in the bottom half. And if you look at the results against the top six, they've been brilliant. So he obviously...
A stylistic problem for Solskjaer, though, as well, that he's unable to break down teams that sit back.
I think it's a squad issue. How are you supposed to break down a squad, a team when you have Pereira playing as your centre attacking midfielder?
A squad that's worth 100 million more than Liverpool's.
But he didn't build that squad. If you look at their signings over the last couple of years, their starting lineup, I went through their starting lineup against Burnley. Ferguson signed De Gea. Wan-Bissaka is a Solskjaer signing. He's a good player. Jones is a Fergie signing. He's terrible. Maguire, Solskjaer, good player. Williams came up from the academy. Matic is a Mourinho player. Fred is a Mourinho player. Mata was bought by Moyes. Pereira came from the academy. James is a Solskjaer player, and Martial came from Van Gaal. So where in that starting lineup can you say that Solskjaer hasn't made Solskjaer is at fault for that squad? He's not. He inherited that squad, and the three players that he managed to get over the line are good players. So where is the evidence to say that he won't be able to bring good players in over summer?
Well, to play devil's advocate, someone might say those academy players are just improving because they're getting game time.
Well, you're looking at the academy player. Williams is getting game time. He wouldn't have got game time under, for example, Pochettino wouldn't have brought him in. He wasn't getting game time under Mourinho. And then the other academy player, Pereira, he's not good enough for the United team, but he's the only option United have in midfield at the minute. So he'll be straight out of the team once they get a good player, if they get Bruno Fernandes over the line. My main point would be that Ed Woodward is stalling this club because he cannot get these deals over the line.
Is it a case that he just doesn't want to give Ollie any money because he thinks, what's the point? You're not going to be able to turn things around, so we'll just wait until the summer, we'll get a new manager in and we'll give them money and then we'll start building again. But that manager could have the same problem, but I still think that whoever they bring in would be more qualified to do a better job than Solskjaer.
But you bring in another manager, and it's going to be another situation where you put out a starting lineup. Say this new manager, whoever he is, brings in 3-4 players. You're going to be looking at a squad then that has Solskjaer players, going to have Moyes players, going to have Mourinho players, and you're going to have Van Gaal players. So it's a mishmash of players. So why not give Solskjaer one more transfer window, and by this time next year, if they have not improved that squad, then get rid of him.
Probably a director of football. We're kind of stalling a bit like Ed Woodward at the moment, so we need to get back to the fixtures this weekend. Call it then, Tranmere against Man United?
I think United will get over. They'll get over the line on this one. But it won't be pretty because the pitch will make it a bit of a leveller, but I still think they'll get the job done.
And
I would say just about.
Okay. Remember, our football coverage here on Off the Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power. For information about responsible gambling, check out dunlewy.net. And also with Paddy Power, there is the ACCA Insurance. Money back is a free bet if one leg of your fourfold lets you down. Terms and conditions apply. It is across UK, Irish, European and senior international football each weekend. A maximum free bet of €10 per day. And terms and conditions do apply. We're looking for potential shocks this weekend, Enda. Give me one.
I'm going to go for Brentford against Leicester. Brentford
in a bad run of form at the moment.
Leicester haven't been great over the last couple of weeks. Jamie Vardy, I know he's out injured, but he hasn't scored a goal in January yet, so that's one of the key issues we highlighted a lot over the last couple of weeks, that if Jamie Vardy stops scoring, where Leicester are going to get their goals. I know against West Ham, you're looking at Harvey Barnes, who's actually been quite good over the last couple of weeks. Brentford are an interesting club, to say the least. They're flying high in the championship at the minute. They got rid of their academy a few years ago, scrapped it completely and replaced it by a B team. So they've been doing the money ball kind of role, and it's been working a treat for them so far. Whether it's going to work well enough for them to get up to the Premier League is another thing. So, for example, they bought Neil Mopé a few years ago for $1.6 million, and they sold him to Brighton for $16 million. His replacement, Ollie Watkins, came from Exeter. He was 21 when they bought him, and now he has a valuation of $20 million because he's a joint top scorer in the Championship. So that's the kind of strategy they use, and just because of their run of form in the Championship and Leicester's poor run of form in the Premier League, I'm going to go with them.
Okay. Phil, anyone jump out for you?
I don't know if it'd be a shock, but I think Millwall are going to beat Sheffield United, because Sheffield United, we know how they play in the Premier League in terms of you can pick the team. And in the last game, Sheffield United obviously played
non-league opposition.
And he went 11 changes. So I think if he does the same, then Millwall will fancy their chances. They're
especially only at the Den as well.
Yeah, 2 points outside the playoff places. Malumbi is key to that. And obviously have a history of beating Premier League opposition. They obviously knocked Everton out last season. Would have got by Brighton in the quarterfinals only for a penalty shootout. So Millwall will fancy their chances. And like, because it's Championship against Premier League, it could be deemed a bit of a shock, but I actually wouldn't really be surprised if I was asked to pick a winner in that game. I would actually go for Millwall.
You mentioned Malumbi, lots of Irish under 21 internationals potentially playing this weekend. On our What's Odds Paddy, an Irish under 21 player to score this weekend 6-4, which seems reasonable, and to given quite a few of them are going to be involved.
Well, hopefully I made a list of the players that might get a game. Forgive me if I've missed out on anybody, but QPR, Conor Masterson is likely going to be starting for
really well last weekend.
Yeah, and it's a good time for him to come into a run of form, because they were actually planning on putting him out on loan, and they're basically saying that he wasn't good enough for the Championship yet, or wasn't physical enough. But now they've kind of changed their mind on that.
It was the third round of the cup that did it for him.
And West Brom, Dar O'Shea. He signed a new contract during the week, so hopefully we'll see him in action. Jason Malumbi, like you said, with Millwall, I'm not sure if Danny McNamara is going to get playing this week, but hopefully he might. Troy Parrott is an obvious one for the goal scorer. Don't think he's going to play. Southampton have Michael Obafemi, and Norwich have Adam Eda. So I would say we'll see Adam Eda in up front for Norwich against Southampton this weekend.
Burnley.
We do have a What Odds Paddy around Troy Parrott as well. If he features, 7-4 to make an appearance this weekend. Is he likely to play any bit, Phil? Because I think when he wasn't even in the squad for the replay against Middlesbrough, that said a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so, because this is a trophy. This is Mourinho's chance, because I don't think they're getting Champions League football. I watched them against Norwich and just really poor and nervy towards the end, trying to bring the ball into the corner against the bottom club in the Premier League to try and make sure they got the 3 points, and they didn't even do that very well. But Mourinho will be thinking, if I could win an FA Cup straight away, he's done what Pochettino didn't do. And that's the way Mourinho thinks, because he could get criticised for not getting Champions League football, and he could just say, won a trophy. You know, when was the last time he won a trophy? Juan de Ramos League Cup in the last decade, 2 decades ago at this stage. And that's the way Mourinho thinks. Just, it's all about him. And that's why I think they'll probably beat Southampton. Maybe this one could actually go to a replay, but I'd just be very surprised if Troy Parrott gets a sniff of game time.
What do you reckon? And I think if this was maybe lower opposition, there might be some chance he's on the bench and comes on. Seems unlikely, though.
Yeah, based on Mourinho's comments a few weeks ago, I can't see him getting a game, to be honest. I know how much we want him to get a game.
He did say he could get some game time.
Well, it's if he appears, so he might come off the bench. You never know.
We do remember, though, the first game at the Riverside, where Spurs were looking to try and get a winner. They made two subs and left Parrott on the bench. So beware if you're having a bet this weekend on Troy Parrott to come out. That finishes up the Paddy Power Half Hour. Good luck if you're having a punt across the FA Cup fourth round fixtures this weekend. And we'll speak to you next Friday afternoon.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.